And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday. It is the 7th of April, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330. And we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We urge you to take a look at our website. We're live weekday mornings 9 to 10, and then we re-air from 7 to 8 in the evening. The lineup for today's show includes a leadoff interview with Buckmaster Show contributor on health. Dr. Victoria Mazes will be with us. Then we're going to hear from a candidate for the Tucson City Council, Democrat Joe Flores. Then at the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. And we will close out the show with the legal advisor to the Buckmaster Show, attorney Don Luke. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. And we're going to start the program off with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director for the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes drops by and visits with us at least once a month. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
You know, what's been going on in Japan has brought a lot of people to the concern. Well, they're concerned about the environment and environmental toxins. There's a new study that brings to light some very interesting information on that.
Yes, you know, I think people are becoming more and more cognizant of environmental issues and how the environment affects health. But sometimes I think people feel like there's not much they can do about it. And this new study shows there really is quite a bit that you can do to make a difference in your own life.
What did the study zero in on?
Well, it was a study that showed what could happen if you reduced or eliminated your exposure to bisphenol A. And bisphenol A, or BPA, is a chemical that's often linked to plastics. It's used in plastics. It's used in the linings of cans.
Oh, I've heard about this. And also, is that in some lining of some water bottles,
yes,
too?
Yes. Okay. And also, it was in baby bottles. In fact, in the United States, it still is. In Europe and in Canada, they have banned them from baby bottles. But we know that bisphenol A is linked to breast cancer and prostate cancer. It's actually linked to infertility, to early puberty, to obesity, diabetes, ADHD, all of these different conditions. And it's linked to so many because it is an endocrine disruptor. In other words, it disrupts the normal way in which hormones work in your body.
Should we be concerned about drinking bottled water that has this BPA lining?
I think we should. And to go back to the study for a second, it was
in
very
Tucson, Arizona.
We got to drink water.
Drink a lot of bottled water,
and right.
You know, in the summer, you can see everybody seems to be carrying a bottle of water with them.
Well, and I think the new trend, which you see more and more, is people carrying their water in a stainless steel bottle, and that makes excellent sense, because while there are different plastics and some may be safer than others, in fact, the 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 numbers, when you see it on the recycle, there's usually a numbers on plastic bottles. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 probably don't have BPA, but that doesn't mean for sure that they're safe. We keep finding out about risks of plastic. So I would say get that stainless steel water bottle and use it. It's a really good thing for the environment because we have fewer plastic bottles, and it's a good thing for your health. What they showed was, this is, I think, a really fun study. They had a caterer come to 5 families in San Francisco and prepare all of their meals. And the meals were prepared with whole foods and a minimal use of anything canned or anything in bottles. And they showed that you could reduce in just 3 days the BPA by 2/3, 66% reduction.
Well, that indicates that it's not of, it doesn't build up long term necessarily, correct?
Right. So that's what the people who are making the cans say. They say, oh, you don't have to worry about this because you can get
it. Yeah, you can get rid
system.
Of it. And, you know, in a couple of days, you can be BPA free.
Well,
by just...
so the good news is you can get it out of your system. But the bad news is when it is in your system, it has all those effects. And just think about how worried we are about obesity. Here's a very simple thing. Let's get rid of BPA in our diets.
And does it take much? I mean, how many bottles of water would you need to drink to get exposure to it?
That's a great question. I don't think we have a very, very clear answer to that. And people have sometimes asked me another question that's hard to answer, which is, if you're eating wild salmon, sockeye salmon in a can or sardines in a can and getting those good omega-3s, but there's BPA in the lining, so what's the risk-benefit ratio? And it's hard to answer that.
Yeah, because a lot of us get our salmon, if we want that wild salmon fix, we go to and get it out of a can. But oh no, if there's BPA. Anyway, BPA is just one of the environmental areas that we all have to worry about. You know, you bring up fish, and we know that radiation has been pouring into the Atlantic Ocean in Japan. Should we worry about the fish we're buying right now or no?
Well, I think probably what we're buying right now, we're okay, unless you live on the coast in Japan, and I know those fishermen and those communities are already worried. But the ocean, you know, one big continuous pool of water, and over time, for sure, the radiation is going to diffuse. In diffusing, the amounts, of course, are going to get smaller. But we'll probably need to be watching fish for radiation and for levels. Here again, you know, choosing fish, you can make wiser choices. You don't want really big fish like swordfish or tilefish. You want smaller fish because they don't bioaccumulate as much. So sardines. Wild salmon is still a very, very good choice. And there are some great websites like the IATP.org, the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Wonderful site for helping to sort healthier fish, less mercury, less PCBs, and eventually less radiation.
It's about 13 minutes past the hour. Dr. Victoria Mazes is the health contributor to the Buckmaster Show. She is the executive director for the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. We've been talking about environmental toxins, BPA, talking about fish. But, you know, water is, you have to think about your water, too. And we're talking about water bottles. Well, what about the water that's in those bottles?
Well, for sure. You know, and this, of course, is one of the great advances of public health in the United States and really worldwide, that we can have clean water, that we're not exposed to various bacteria and other microbes that, you know, lead to illness. And that is a wonderful thing. Chlorination is part of what has led to that. But chlorination has some risk, and there really may be better and safer ways for us to be purifying our water. It varies depending on where you live, what system you want to use.
And, of course, for the ladies, cosmetics, be very careful, I guess. Read the labels, right, about what you're putting on your face.
Well, cosmetics are tricky because they're not regulated by the FDA. And so they can almost put any chemical in a cosmetic that they want. And you really have to be discerning. And the way that I suggest when people come to me who have this concern, which would include any woman who has had breast cancer or any other form of cancer who's worried, that you might want to go to a database. It's called Skin Deep. It's put together by the Environmental Working Group, and it's the cosmeticsdatabase.com of the Environmental Working Group, which is EWG.com. So you really can. It takes some effort, but it only takes effort one time. You go, you look up your cosmetics, your sunscreen, you make decisions about which is the safest in terms of environmental chemicals.
We probably should mention also the potassium iodine pills. Health food stores have been running out of them. Do any Americans really need to be taking them because of what's happened in Japan?
At this point, I would say do not take potassium iodide. We will get public health warnings. We have not had significantly elevated radiation levels in the United States, and potassium iodide is really only indicated for peaks in radiation exposure. It would be especially indicated in that situation for pregnant women or for children, but not for the general public, and certainly not at this time.
Richard is on the Buckmaster Show live line. He would like to ask Dr. Victoria Mazes a question. Do you have the audio there, Victoria? Richard, go ahead.
Yes, Bill. I wanted to ask the doctor, what's her familiarity with Roundup Ready crops? And the fact that we are ingesting Roundup every day, a herbicide in our food chain, in our food?
Okay, that's a good question, Richard. We'll see what Victoria says.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I think that the exposure that we have to pesticides and herbicides is definitely a concern. And one way to address this is to selectively choose organic foods, fruits and vegetables wherever you can. Again, the Environmental Working Group, a great source, they have a list that they call the Dirty Dozen, which are the 12 most heavily laden, chemical burdened fruits and vegetables. This always includes things like strawberries. It usually has celery, peaches, blueberries, nectarines, apples, always at the top of the list. But the good news is there's also what they call the Clean 15, the very least contaminated fruits and vegetables, and things like onions and avocados and asparagus, mangoes, things that you can feel very comfortable getting conventional sources, because you're either going to peel them or else they just don't penetrate into the fruit or vegetable and they would be safe to eat conventionally. So this list actually helps us make wise choices about where do we really want to go organic. Now, other studies, very interesting, in children show that children who eat conventional vegetables and fruits compared to children who are given organic, 6 times higher level of pesticides in the children being given conventional fruits and vegetables. So, and when they remove them and give the kids an organic, you know, an organic only fruits, vegetables, meats, dairy diet, the levels plummet. So wow. You can really make a difference there.
We've only got about 2 minutes to go with Dr. Victoria Mazes, and of course there'll be a lot of attention, Victoria, on the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, 13th annual at Reed Park this Sunday. What are some of your thoughts on breast cancer prevention, and what are some of the things that folks should be thinking about?
Well, it ties directly into what we've been talking about, because many of these environmental chemicals, pesticides, plastics, BPA, are endocrine disruptors. So they actually interfere with the normal ways in which hormones act, and they increase the risk of breast cancer. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're seeing overall more breast cancer. Other things people can do, especially in adolescence, increase the soy foods in your diet. That has been shown to reduce the risk of breast cancer. Reduce the amount of pesticides, like the caller said, so that you're using more organics. Overall, eat more vegetables and fruits, get more exercise.
Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Thank you for your input, and we also thank Richard. That was a great question that Richard had about the foods we eat and some of the toxins there. Dr. Mays, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. We're coming up now on 19 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking to one of the candidates for Tucson City Council. That'll be coming up next on The Buckmaster Show and BuckmasterShow.com.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It's 23 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show and BuckmasterShow.com. Next on the Buckmaster Show, City Council hopeful Joe Flores. He made his announcement recently that he will be a candidate in Ward 1 in the Democratic primary, challenging Regina Romero. Mr. Flores joins us now. Joe Flores, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, tell me a little bit about why you decided to get involved with politics.
Well, I'm no different than your average taxpayer, property owner, businessman out there. You know, you read the newspaper every day, listen to your talk shows like yourself. You hear and you see what's going on with the city. Year after year after year, the direction in which I have seen the city government taking this city and with a lot of the programs that they've initiated, you create a certain frustration that I just had to get involved. I did not like the direction in which the city government and the city council was taking the city.
So you think that the city's been going in the wrong direction?
Misdirection, yes.
Misdirection. What direction should the city be going in your opinion?
Well, for one, they need to be more friendly to the business community. There's been a lot of different points of view with the city's ordinances, their way of their thought. How can I explain that to you? I'm trying to realize what has happened in the past, and what they're trying to do is try and correct it.
But too much red tape involved.
There's too much red tape.
You'd like to see the process streamlined, perhaps.
It needs to be very much streamlined.
Is there something particular about Regina Romero that you think she has not done her job?
Well, she's a very likable person. What lacks with her office is leadership. Now, you need to be more focused with the people. You need to be more focused with your neighborhood associations. I'm vice president of the Rose Neighborhood Association. And there's, I stay in communication with a lot of the other neighborhood associations, and I see where she does have involvement, indirect involvement with the neighborhood associations, but there needs to be a little bit more involvement with their activities that is performed within the city and the neighborhood associations. As I have walked the streets, I have seen the streets need to be swept. There's a lot of neighborhoods that need sidewalks. A lot of neighborhoods need lighting. A lot of these neighborhoods have been ignored that way. And when I'm councilman, I want to be able to go back into those neighborhoods and see what we can do with a lot of the funding that would be available to create all those little projects within the neighborhood itself.
Tell us, Mr. Flores, a little bit about yourself. You're a native of Tucson?
I was born and raised here in Tucson. I was educated. I went to school on both sides of the track. I went to Safford, and I also went to Miles. I went to Mansfield, Tucson High, and the University of Arizona.
And you're in business yourself?
I've been in business for 40 years.
Tell us about that.
Well, prior to my business, it's a business that stayed in continuity for over 80 years. My dad first originated that business back in 1919, which was a pharmacy. And he located that pharmacy downtown to where we used to have a drugstore that was sitting on the corner of Jackson and Meyer, then moved later to Congress and Meyer, to where the Arizona Hotel sits right now.
So you've been around a long time. You've seen lots of changes, and you just don't like what's going on with the city right now.
That's true. There's been a lot of changes. I remember when Tucson was, about 150,000 population. The outskirts of Tucson was Alcon Shopping Center.
So to summarize here, you really think some changes are needed in Ward 1, and you're not really happy, as you call it, the misdirection of the city. And how about downtown? Are you seeing any progress there? Or are you disappointed there as well?
Well, like I explained to you, we used to be downtown. I grew up downtown. We used to have the drugstore right there on the corner of Congress and Meyer. And that was when Urban Renewal came in, then they relocated all the neighborhood, and they relocated the businesses. After that relocation happened, you know, to make room for Tucson Convention Center, then the downtown area became like a ghost town. And there was no reason for people to go downtown anymore. And the reason why Rio Nuevo is available right now is to try and bring that back into the community.
We're going to have to run. Joe Flores, Democrat, running in Ward 1 City Council. We'll look forward to having you and Regina Romero together on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Coming up now in 30 minutes past the hour on Buckmaster Show and BuckmasterShow.com.
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio Special Report. I'm Andy Rose. A new 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit Japan in almost the same place as the catastrophic tremor a month ago. Ryan McDonald lives in northern Japan.
All of the aftershocks are just gut-wrenching. They're just, oh, is this going to be the big one? Am I going to have to run out? Oh, what am I going to do? And that's what this one turned into.
Good news is a tsunami warning was canceled, and there are no reports of injuries yet. But workers at the damaged nuclear plant were evacuated. CNN's Martin Savage says people are nervous.
The fear has always been that some sort of major aftershock like this could destabilize what's already a very unstable circumstance up there with three nuclear reactors that they have only barely been able to keep under control. But so far, TEPCO is not reporting any problems, other than the fact that they are evacuating all of those personnel from both Daiichi and Daini nuclear sites.
Again, no reports of injuries so far. This has been a special report from CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on Spectracide Weed Stop products. Buy one, get one free. Beautiful lawns don't just happen. Unfortunately, weeds do. That's why Weed Stop's different mixes kill over 250 kinds of weeds without harming your lawn. We're lowering the cost of winning the battle for your turf with Spectracide Weed Stop. Your choice, buy one, get one free. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through April 10th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Where's my PC desktop?
It's on my desk, of course.
It's also on my smartphone.
My laptop.
My notebook.
As the engines of a smarter planet,
we mid-sized businesses need to be able to work anytime, anywhere.
Wherever I go, my desktop goes with me.
Unless I'd prefer that it didn't.
Like when I'm fishing or something.
The IBM Virtual Desktop for smart business. Designed to reduce desktop management costs. Starting at $12.50 per user per month. Learn more at ibm.com/engines/desktop. Price is subject to change without notice.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Supervisor, good to see you. How are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning to everyone listening and to you, Bill.
Pima County is grappling with how to cover another $15 million hit that could be coming its way from this state budget that the governor is expected to sign this week. I'm sure you're not happy with that.
Well, I'm disappointed, but I'm also encouraged that some of our representatives stood up and, you know, made the case for Pima County, and actually those cuts could have been doubly severe. And I want to thank Ted Vogt for one, Vic Williams a second, who actually took the initiative to stand up to some of the Maricopa County power that was leading us in more cuts for Pima County. And the other 14 counties outside Maricopa feel this every session. But this session, it's been incredibly difficult. And the money that they asked to come out of our general funds this year for the five large counties is going to be particularly difficult to come up with. And I've always said they're just giving the opportunity to board majorities across Arizona to place the blame at their feet. And it certainly is something that they're going to have to be accountable for in their own re-elections. But it gives a rallying cry for those who are opposed to just government via Phoenix through the Maricopa County majority delegation dictating across the state. It gives power and it gives real influence to the kind of, retaliatory nature of the Phoenix, let's just say the Phoenix majority of the state House and Senate. The other thing, it was incredible to me that they would cut $5 million from the Border Patrol or from the border dollars, whether, however you want to phrase their terminology.
That was a slap. Me. That was certainly a slap at Pima County Sheriff Clarence Duke.
Well, it was, and it's just so retaliatory and, you know, anti-Dupnik. But it also affects those people that live in Green Valley and out in the outskirts of Marsh Station and J6 area, all those areas that are represented, including Benson by State House members from District 30, state senators from all across southern Arizona, should have been fighting for that money instead of just turning a blind eye and saying, attaboy, to Russell Pierce, go ahead and punish a guy who said something you don't like. I thought our delegation would be more in favor of the First Amendment, understanding that those comments were said in anger and obviously in a personally very difficult time for the sheriff, who was close to Congresswoman Giffords and still is. And I just have to say it's one of those things, if especially in this season, Bill, you have to think about the budget coming through in a way that you're territorial for. You know, the parochial nature of Southern Arizona delegations in the past is to make sure they protect dollars that were earmarked for Southern Arizona all the way to the final day of the legislative session. I was a little disappointed in that because this constituents didn't say anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. I can't defend what Clarence said or did. He's retracted his statements in many interviews that I've heard, and was, I think, contrite in his apology to the people that he offended. But at the same time, to let them carry this on some 90 days after the statements to pull off a $5 million heist and give it to people that, you know, favor their politics is just disappointing to me. And in this tough times, as I said, you're giving every delegation member in Southern Arizona something that they're going to have to explain to the constituents as they come up for re-election. And it's going to be a reminded, it's going to be a fact that they're reminded of, those constituents, as they come into election season, of all the cuts that were made to counties that then they had to shift to their constituents. And some of those constituencies, as I said, are diehard red Republican parts and strongholds of every county in Arizona.
We're speaking with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Tucson Senator Frank Antonori sponsoring a bill that would effectively thwart library expansion needed by some of actually his own constituents and your constituents in Green Valley and Vail. Why do that?
Well, I think that was an editorial in the Star that I read.
Yeah, it was.
That's their opinion. And mm-hmm. Obviously, the library board president and the library members of Southern Arizona have sent Frank a letter begging him not to do that, because if we're going to expand the library system into Vail or Green Valley, as it's represented here in this editorial, it will be true that that's a difficult thing to pull off. I don't think Frank was past member of the Pima County Library Board, And I don't know if he's calculated the risk. That's something that is a very high priority in Vail, especially Sarita, another area that would like a full permanent library.
So you're saying that could be a political liability for Mr. Antonari?
I think it's a hot potato this year around. As I said, there was a lot of bills that went in early in the session that were just a distraction. I think even the Senate president began to look like a one-trick pony on illegal immigration issues. He's again in this morning's paper, going to revive his efforts and attempts to do some pretty hardcore measures that would require schools and hospitals and other areas of government and quasi-governments to get involved in the immigration issue, and that's something that they don't have the budgets to do. And so in the end, Bill, it's something that this legislative season should have focused on the budget. They should have broken the fix into 2 years. The fix still would have been capable and doable before their reelection season. Why they had to deal with all these social issues, then leave the budget till the end, and now say that this is an accepted done deal with so little collaboration from, like I said, the counties. I certainly called my representatives, and I called Frank and other senators.
How's your relationship with Frank?
It's fine. You know, I have to appreciate people's service, Bill. I don't always agree with every Republican or every Democrat that I work with, but I've always found a way to communicate and be open and say, look, you can always call to discuss these things. I don't like reading them in the paper and having to react to a reporter who calls me to say, for example, Frank Antonari had a bill that would allow the county to recall the county administrator. He's not an elected official. I think he missed the mark there. The officials that are elected at the polls this 2012 are the ones who give Chuck Huckleberry a majority vote to be the county administrator. Now, personally, I was probably the best spokesman for that response because I've never voted for a county administrator contract for Chuck Huckleberry. I've always been against his continuation as the county administrator. So it was good. She knew to call me, the reporter, Andrea Kelly from the Star, or maybe it was Rhonda Bodfield. But I will just say that I hate to read about things in the paper when everybody has my cell number and everybody has my office number. And I'm disappointed, and I thought I was close to the delegation, so I can say my relations with the delegation, Senate and House, all over both parties, is as good as I can have it and as good as I can make it. I do make an effort.
We've got about 2 minutes to go, Supervisor Ray Carroll. It looks like Marana, the legislation that's been authorized to allow Marana to take over the Pima County Regional Sewage System, the sewer plant there, that looks like a lawsuit, speaking of Mr. Huckleberry, that Mr. Huckleberry will probably come to the board and ask, here we go again, sue again.
Well, it will be, and it's as you know, that's a Frank Antonori bill. It doesn't lie in Marana and his district, but I think it has some other aim, and that would be to aid other, let's say, future incorporated communities to go ahead and take that sewer system away from the county. I think the comments made about that throughout the case have been indicative that it has to be a better negotiated thing than an end round, you know, kind of a legislative attempt to take that without going to court. If you could have sat down and negotiated, maybe you put it on the back burner till after the 2012 elections and see what happens then. But I'm disappointed that we couldn't sit down and negotiate to let Marana have that pipe, that sewer plant. It's up to the people of Marana. If they can afford it, they should be able to have purchased it. But at the same time, Bill, it's always difficult when things you can predict are going to end up costing taxpayers in a lawsuit, and that's what this is going to end up at.
We've only got a few seconds to go with Supervisor Carroll. Getting back to that $15 million at least being shifted to Pima County, should that bother the taxpayers as far as their tax rates?
Well, I think that this year tax rates were due to go down if my calculations were correct. And I was hoping that we could see some tax relief at Pima County. But like I said, I'm part of a majority member Democratic board. And it's a Democratic majority on our board. They have the space. They have the ability to go ahead and offset the $15 million through our own reserves and other funding. But will they use this as an example of reasons why they can't further reduce the reserves? So what I'm saying is they can predict for 2012 that this is going to happen again. So they need to keep their reserves high and therefore not give tax relief to the people of Pima County, which I think we so richly deserve.
Supervisor Ray Carroll, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show, and have a great day.
Well, thank you, and have a great Easter, which is right around the corner, and may the peace of the season be with you.
Same to you. We will see you down the road. Thanks a lot, Supervisor Ray Carroll. 46 minutes now past the hour on Buckmaster Show and buckmastershow.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of five major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
It's 50 minutes past the hour. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show and BuckmasterShow.com. It's always a pleasure when we have attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101. This is a terrific book. It's a handbook for non-lawyers, and his other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, two very important topics. And if you get bogged down sometimes and thinking, oh my goodness, I don't understand Arizona laws, Don Luce, really there's some great stuff in Laws 101, isn't there?
Thanks, Bill. Yes, great to be back, by the way.
Thank you very much, Don. It's good to see you. We're going to start today now with the final rules, it looks like, on Proposition 203, and this, of course, concerns Arizona's medical marijuana law. What's the latest now on what the State Department of Health Services is saying as far as final rules?
The rules were finalized this week after 4 months of draft proposals being circulated. The Department of Health Services is charged with essentially implementing and carrying out Proposition 203, which, as you know, passed by a very, very narrow margin.
It was like, was it hundreds of? It was under 1,000 votes, I think. It was very close.
50.13%.
Oh, my goodness.
Very slim. Anyway, the Department of Health Services, after Prop 203 passed, circulated two draft proposals. The first draft received public comment. They then revised it. The second draft received additional comment. They then revised it. And we now have the final rules concerning medical pot. And the Arizona Department of Health Services, by law, is required to start accepting patient applications next week.
Really? That soon?
Yes. And then 15 days after that, theoretically, they can't. They'll be in a position to issue the first medical marijuana card in Arizona.
So there are a couple of questions that that have been about there, and perhaps now we can clarify this. Is the process of obtaining state approval to possess medical marijuana still relatively easy? Why don't we start with that one?
No, it's still relatively difficult. And the reason it's difficult is because Arizona has made it very clear that these rules are intended to prevent recreational use, which means, if anything, they're skewed a little bit away from medical marijuana use as opposed to making it easy to use medical marijuana. The Arizona Department of Health Services has finally identified what it considers to be a debilitating medical condition. Now, this was what Proposition 203 said. If you have a debilitating medical condition, then, under certain circumstances, it is legal in Arizona to use marijuana. According to the Department of Health Services, the following conditions qualify: cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, hepatitis C, Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, and Alzheimer's. Those are the debilitating medical conditions which would qualify a patient to either buy medical marijuana or, in certain cases, grow marijuana for medical purposes.
That is quite, that list is quite a bit narrower than some of the earlier lists that were going around, that migraine headaches perhaps would be covered under that law.
That's exactly right. And the director of the Department of Health Services made it clear from the onset that he was going to be very careful to limit the medical conditions that qualify. And he cited, interestingly, the state of Colorado, which has much looser conditions, and suggested that Arizona was going to be much stricter in that regard.
Another question that's been out there, Don Luce, how the state will deal with the hordes of wannabe pot shop owners. So I guess from what I understand, the new law is calling for a maximum of 124 stores within the borders of the state. Is that what you understand?
The exact number hasn't yet been determined, but there will be between 120 and 126 dispensaries. And under the methodology that's been adopted, there will be one dispensary in each community health analysis area. This is just a term to describe a geographical area that the Department of Health Services previously used to track public health statistics. And so in the more populated areas, there are, of course, numerous community health analysis areas. But in the more rural areas, there are fewer. And so what I think is going to happen is there will be multiple applications for individual areas, such as in Tucson and Phoenix. But in some of the more rural areas, there may or may not even be a single application, which is then going to allow the patients who are qualified to use marijuana to grow it themselves, because the geographical limit is 125 miles from the nearest dispensary.
So you may have some marijuana growing operations that are legal within the state of Arizona. Don Luce is with us, and he is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. A couple of other topics that I want to get to, Mr. Luce, before we close out the Buckmaster Show. We've got about 5 minutes or so. The Going on the offensive, the state of Arizona recently sued the federal government, suing them this month, actually, charging it has failed to meet its legal responsibility to secure the border. And, of course, this comes out of the SB 1070.
This is really an interesting lawsuit. It was filed initially by the Justice Department against the state of Arizona to block the implementation of 1070, which, of course, is the immigration initiative that was passed last year. And the federal government was successful in large part. Judge Bolton of the U.S. District Court in Phoenix did block five key provisions of the 1070 statute. So that case is on appeal to the Ninth Circuit. In the meantime, our Attorney General, Tom Horn, has filed what is called a counterclaim. This is essentially a claim by a defendant against a plaintiff alleging facts that relate to the original lawsuit. And in this counterclaim, Tom Horn is saying that the Department of Homeland Security is required to secure the border. And what he's arguing is that the Department of Homeland Security should be ordered by the court to do its job so that Arizona won't have to essentially be in this preemptive field. Judge Bolton, the district court judge who struck down the majority of 1070, said that this particular statute is preempted by federal law. And so I think what we're seeing is our state attorney general is now coming in and saying, well, fine, if that's the position that they're taking, then let's get them to do their job.
I think we can say that this will probably wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court, right?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I also think that the state of Arizona has an uphill battle for a couple of reasons. First of all, most cases are affirmed on appeal, statistically. And so there's an uphill battle in getting the Ninth Circuit or the Supreme Court to overturn the lower court decision. But also, the argument that Horn is making with regard to the invasion claim, and that is we're being invaded, so the federal government needs to step up and protect us. About 14 years ago, that argument was unsuccessful before the same circuit court. So the Ninth Circuit has already made an adverse ruling on that claim in a different case. Our attorney general is saying, though, well, since then, we've had 9/11, and the Secure the Border statute has been enacted, so things have changed. And he's essentially arguing for a reversal of that previous case.
Looks like an uphill battle there. I've only got about a minute and a half, Don Luce. The Supreme Court, as you know, yesterday tossed out the tuition tax credit lawsuit. We had Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Diocese of Tucson on the program yesterday. He was delighted with that because a lot of people do give money to private schools.
Well, this is the case that was styled Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization versus Wynn. It went up to the Supreme Court, and the proponents were seeking to have the Supreme Court declare the Arizona Tuition Tax Credit Program unconstitutional. And the argument that they made was that you cannot use state money for private purposes. And they were saying that because a contributor to a tax credit organization gets a credit on his or her state income tax return, they're effectively using state money for a private purpose. The Supreme Court disagreed and said it's not a private purpose, and we're not going to declare it unconstitutional.
Thank you so much, Don Luce, attorney and the attorney for the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to wrap it up. We hope you have a great day. BuckmasterShow.com. Check it out. We have an announcement on that website right now that will be of interest to our listeners. Thank you.
Tucson's Jolt.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL, South Tucson.